You ever get the feeling that everything in America is completely f***ed up?
They're saying I should think stuff like this. They're saying
something is wrong with me.
To
be so
cynical.
Welcome to another edition of Positive Cynicism. You know, we have the summer of positivity going on here on Positive Cynicism. It is all about spreading positivity, helping, trying to make the world a better place. And, you know, if you're like me and you read the news every day and, you know, you go on social media and you see all this hatred, all this just nonsense of disagreement and belittling others based on any little thing, difference of opinion or whatever the case may be. I hope you are like me in that you are just so sick of seeing the negativity and you want to make a positive impact in society. And so I encourage you all to embrace the summer of positivity, and not even the summer, make it the life of positivity. But also, I just encourage you to do one random act of kindness a day. And you don't have to tell anybody about it. You don't have to, you know, it doesn't have to be major anything. It could simply be, you know, tell somebody, I mean, just simply put, just tell them, have a great day. Like, it does not have to be a major thing. It just has to be something simple. Just make it something simple, but make it positive. And that's what we're trying to do here on Positive Cynicism. I don't have a long intro this week. The topic that we're going to get into, I have Kevin Huntsberger from the My 1-2-3 Cents podcast joining me today, and we're going to delve into a serious topic, and one that I honestly had questions about doing, but I felt for myself, and just to try to get some awareness out there that the episode needed to be told. Yeah, I'm just going to wrap this up. I'm going to, again, say embrace positivity, and we'll be right back.
Hey, everyone. Kevin Huntsberger here from My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast, and my123cents.com. Every Monday, a new episode drops with the latest news and happenings in the world of professional wrestling. Head to the archives and listen to interviews with legends of the ring like Double J, Jeff Jarrett, Mick Foley, Kamala, and Dan the Beast Severin. Current superstars like Sheamus, Xavier Woods, and Kofi Kingston have been part of the discussion, too. Again, it's My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast, a wrestling fan's perspective.
As I mentioned in the intro, I am once again joined by the host of the My 1-2-3 Cents podcast here on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network, Mr. Kevin Huntsberger. You like that, Kevin? I actually gave you some respect. I said Mr.
I know, right? And I'm glad the check cleared, and I'm back on for another show.
Yeah, well, you know, it did take a while. The Bank of Nigeria, we don't really think is an official bank, but the check cleared. And, you know, I have you on the show. One, I mean, to be perfectly honest, you're kind of a backup because the person I wanted to have on this show, I didn't get in touch with until a couple of days ago, and it was too quick to get him on the show. But hopefully he will be on a future edition, as we like to call them here on Positive Cynicism, and we'll talk more about that in a few moments. But I brought you on because I needed someone to facilitate the conversation that we're going to have. And even though this is not a wrestling themed podcast, there's going to be a lot of wrestler references mm-hmm. on this show, so I figured who better than the host of a wrestling podcast who apparently doesn't watch wrestling based on our pre-show conversation.
I need to get caught up on certain things for sure, yes. But I am And once we get into the conversation and people kind of realize what we're talking about, I am honestly honored to be a part of this. And, you know, coming in second in this case, I am flattered considering who your first choice was for all of this.
And we should mention, I mean, let's go ahead and prop your ego up now. You are 2-0. I said on the last episode of Positive Cynicism that you may be bruised and battered and beaten, but somehow you managed to win a steel cage match against a guy much bigger than yourself and probably in better shape. But I mean, you did have like help from like 16 different guys helping you,
but it's good friends in low places and high places. So yeah,
like I said, had I been there, I would have been the Shawn Michaels to your Marty Jannetty, and you would have jumped out of the cage because you're a coward.
You wouldn't have helped me.
I would have jumped in, made it look like I was going to help you, and then, you know, I would have attacked you and ripped off my 1-2-3-cent shirt to reveal a Roger Mathis shirt underneath. And then Roger would have probably looked at me, picked me up, and power slammed me for interfering in his match, and I would not be doing the show for like 6 more months because I would have been in pain. Now, all joking aside, let's get down to the seriousness. Because that's what people love. That's why people come here to Positive Cynicism, is for the seriousness. I've been thinking about how to format the show and how to start it off. And really, I don't have a good format. So this may be a little bit of rambling. Stick with us. There is a good point, or serious point here, and we'll get to it. Let's start. Since we've hinted at who was supposed to be here, I don't know why we didn't mention him earlier, but let's get it out of the way. There's a wrestler by the name of Jarvis Cottonbelly, and I want to say Jarvis, but that's the human computer from the Avengers. His name is Jarvis Cottonbelly. He is known as the world's sweetest man. Kevin, you've worked a show with Jarvis, correct?
Yeah. Yes, that is correct. He was here in Carbondale back, I believe it was 2013. A great guy. Really, his moniker, you know, he's a world's sweetest man. The character, now I've not met the man behind the mask.
What do you mean?
Yes. Okay, let me rephrase that. Yes, Jarvis Cottonbelly is a one of those guys that he really is the real deal. And you know, I enjoyed him being here in Carbondale and you know, we took a little time to chat together, but yes, a great guy.
Yeah. And again, he's the sweetest man. He hugs his, I don't know if he calls himself the doctor of hugonomics, probably not, something I probably just made up, but he always hugs his opponents before a match. He hugs the fans. I believe he has passed out flowers to fans before. Like, his whole persona is being kind, which, you know, especially given the last few weeks in this country, it's a very good message that we need to impart more of. Unfortunately, back in April, Jarvis had a bit of, I guess you can call it a breakdown, and he posted a blog on his website. And you can see the link to it on the Positive Cynicism Facebook page and jitterymonkey.com. But he basically told the story of how he suffers from severe depression, and it's something that I doubt very many people outside of his close circle of friends knew about. And one, I think it was very brave of him to do so, because the severity of what he wrote about, it wasn't just, oh, I, you know, I'm depressed. Like, it very serious and potentially life-threatening issues could have happened based on the story he told.
Yes.
At the time, go ahead.
He was talking about self-destructive behavior and so things that could have been, you know, as you mentioned, life-threatening, potentially dangerous, hazardous to himself and potentially even others.
Exactly. When this came out, I myself was going through a bout of what I just what I call the funk. And it's something that happens, I would say that it probably happened about every 5 to 6 months, and unfortunately has been growing more regular. And now I would say I'm looking at like every 2 to 3 months, there is a point in time, which can last anywhere from a couple of days to a week, maybe, of just feeling completely worthless. I don't even know how to describe it, because it's not, well, let me stop and refocus. It's, I was going through this funk. It is something, as I said, it happens a lot, and it's something that I've just always kind of shooken off and said, oh, it's just me. It's just my personality. It happens. And Jervis's blog kind of hit me, though, that it's not normal and it shouldn't be happening. So I was talking with my friend Laura, who is a good friend who I talk to on a daily basis, and she has had experience with depression in her life, in her family and friends. And so she was kind of, when I was telling her about Jervis's blog and about going through the funk, and she knows about the funk, like we kind of actually kind of joke about it at times, but she was like, you know, maybe this isn't just the funk. Maybe you need to actually, you know, talk to someone who can give you a more precise diagnosis. And so thought about it for a little bit, and I ended up going to see a psychiatrist who unfortunately was not covered by insurance. And I think this is one of our major problems with this growing mental health issue, is that the therapist, the meeting with her was very, I think, productive, but it was also not cost effective, to where I could not afford to go back to her more than like once every few months.
Right.
And the meeting with her, it was basically sat down and she asked a couple of questions, and you know, it's stuff like, you know, in the last week, how many times have you felt, I wish I still had the paper here in front of me and I could say, how many times have you felt worthless? How many days have you felt, you know, like killing yourself or harm towards others? And it really kind of hit home, like how destructive my thinking is.
Mm-hmm.
So after that meeting, I was like, okay, since I can't afford to come back to her, let me look within my insurance provider, and found that they do offer mental health therapy. And so I had another meeting last week with someone that is covered, which is great because it's free. And unfortunately, though, the last couple of weeks have been good weeks. Like, I have not had any of these feelings. So when I had this appointment with this other therapist, he's asking me the same questions of, okay, how many days have you felt this? I mean, and I'm like, in the last 2 weeks, none. Like, I felt fine. A month ago, yeah, it was like every day. And so the problem with mental health issues, and you've seen this all over the news in the last few months, you know, it's, you can't test for it.
Right.
You can't do a blood test. You can't do a CAT scan. You can't, you know, do an X-ray and be like, oh yeah, look, this section of your brain is really messed up. You're clearly suffering from something. So there is no, I don't want to say there's no good diagnosis, but it takes a while to really understand what's going on. And the meeting, the last meeting I had with the psychiatrist, where he's asking the questions, each question had a range value of 0 to 4. And I believe there were like 5 questions. So your ultimate score is 20. And he said, you know, 0 to 4, if you come in 0 to 4, that's just normal life. You don't have anything to worry about. I came in at a 13. And so he was like, okay, I think you have mild depression. And I'm like, okay. Here's where I have so many thoughts. I don't know which way to go. It's,
sure.
I have mild depression, not a great thing, but at the same time, I am not and have not been suicidal, which I am thankful for.
Right.
However, over the last few months when these bouts hit, I've always been like, I would never commit suicide. It was just nothing. It was something that there's no way I could do it because the saying, it's a permanent solution to a temporary problem. Everything passes. So you just have to get through the suck basically. But it's also, you know, if you commit suicide, yeah, your problems are over, but then you've left your family, your friends with all these questions.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I am probably too caring of a person to where I think about that. That's my big thought. It's like, I wouldn't want to put that pressure on or guilt onto anyone else. So maybe that has been just a good side effect to keep me from committing suicide. But again, I'm not suicidal. And
right. And
that's where I feel kind of, when we were discussing, when I was trying to put this episode together, you know, I look at Jervis's blog post and how he talks about, you know, those feelings. And I watched the documentary on Mauro Ranallo called Bipolar Rock and Roller, who, for those that may not know, Mauro is a sports announcer. He works with WWE calling their NXT promotion. He's also, I believe, the head commentator for Showtime Boxing, and he's done mixed martial arts fights, and he's manic depressive. And I was going to ask you, Kevin, did you get a chance to see the documentary?
I have not.
Okay.
But I have heard parts of his story before too. Yes.
Yeah. And I mean, watching his story, it's saddening and it's depressing what he has gone through and what he continues to go through, but it's also empowering because he's been able to make this career for himself that is his dream career and has been so successful in it. So, like, you know, trying to weigh the good with the bad. But he also talks about the suicidal thoughts and everything that he's gone through. And so for me, just having mild depression when I wake up and be like, you know, when I see these other people who are much worse off than I am, especially when I'm going through a good phase, it's like, well, am I just being a little bitch about this? Like,
mm-hmm.
You know, who am I to complain or even think that I have an issue? Because, okay, so maybe once every couple months, I just get down and where I don't do anything. You know, is that really that big of a deal? And on the one hand, I can say, no, it's not. It's just, you've rolled through it, and after a few days, you're back to normal. But my problem has, now that actually looking at it, is if it's becoming more frequent,
mm-hmm.
What's going to say it's not going to be more intense as well?
Right.
And so trying to, go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask you, you know, you said when you went and saw this new doctor that, mm-hmm. your symptoms or your feelings hadn't really been escalated at that time. You took the exam or the mm-hmm. test and you got a 13 and that was a diagnosis of mild depression. Now, were you answering those questions based on your overall feelings or just how you had been feeling around that time period?
Overall, I would clarify, I say like in the last 2 weeks, my, you know, a number value would be like 0 or 1 because I've been fine. But in April, it would have been a 4 or 5. And even there was one day the week prior where it was just one day. And I call it, because I am such a clinical expert on things, I call it the fog, where it wasn't as bad as the normal funk issue, but it was just a day where I was so numb to everything. And in doing research for this and looking things up, I found two good quotes that I'm going to probably paraphrase and not get correct here, but I kind of express it. And one is, for when I was in the fog, it's like, I'm not suicidal, but I've lost the will to live, to where it's just, I don't care about anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one is trying to explain depression, because depression isn't sadness. It's not feeling sorry for yourself. It's just, for lack of a better term, it's just kind of a soul crushing, why am I even here? What am I even doing? Kind of feeling. And that's the time where it doesn't, you know, I think people that don't understand what depression is, or even if it's not being diagnosed properly, or has not been diagnosed, it's, if you tell somebody, oh, I feel depressed or whatever, they're just like, well, snap out of it.
And right.
Unfortunately, it's not that simple.
I think a lot of times people don't get, and I'm glad, and let me first of all tell you, I am proud of you for talking about this, because, and, you know, Morello from WWE and Jervis Cottonbelly, so many times people don't want to talk about mental health issues because there's a stigma attached to it. And if you were sitting here talking about a cancer diagnosis or your affliction with diabetes or Alzheimer's disease, there are so many support groups and there's so much help, and people are like, oh my God, what can we do to help you? But when someone talks about mental health, there's almost this shunning of sorts. And I think shedding the light on it and actually talking about it is the only way to make people more comfortable. And perhaps you don't have to go to a doctor who is going to charge you so much that you're not able to go. And luckily for you, you're able to find another professional in your network. But there are others out there who are suffering in silence and are having that self-destructive behavior and whatnot. So kudos to you for talking about this. And we as a society need to stop labeling or characterizing people who come out and talk about this. We need to embrace and support and help, and not just say, well, snap out of it. You wouldn't tell a cancer patient to just snap out of it. There is much more. The brain is such an elaborate organ that we know, you know, so, you know, researchers constantly trying to figure out how it works and what it's doing and whatnot. So there's, don't be that friend or don't be that person who just says, well, snap out of it, because there is no snapping out of it. And I'm sorry for interrupting, and continue on.
No, that's good. Actually, I was going to segue off that real quick and mention, to drop another wrestling reference into this show. I had bought AJ Lee's book, Crazy is My Superpower, and I had planned on reading it, or at least trying to read it before the show. Unfortunately, I did not get, I've only read like the first 80 pages, but part of what I was just reading was when she was a kid, and I guess started having her, I don't know what her full mental illness issues are. I've not gotten that far in the book. I know she is a spokesperson for a couple mental illness organizations, but when she would be experiencing these events of anxiety or whatever, her mom, if she told her mom was just like, well, stop being crazy. Stop acting crazy. And granted, this was 20 years ago, before I think mental health was a real prevalent issue in society. But it is still, like you said, it's that feeling of you know, good, anytime someone is not feeling or acting quote unquote normal, yeah, our initial reaction is just say, well, get over it. Like, stop, you know. And that's where, for me, like, I realize my issue is, it's going to sound stupid in the context, but it's mental. It's all, like, when, and I don't know how long I've been experiencing this, probably longer than I want to admit or can remember.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been probably at least the last 2 years that, as I've said, with the funk, that I've been mentioning it, and it just, and we just kind of play it off. And when I was thinking about the events in April, I'm like, okay, well, what, because what, after it passes, then you look back and say, okay, well, what triggered it? Why, you know, and try to understand it better. And that's where I realized for me, I think a lot of it has to do with self-esteem. I've always struggled with that. And at the time, you know, back in April, I was like, okay, let's see. My job has been very chaotic, very busy. We changed a lot of things up over the last 6 months. And due to that, I was missing some deadlines. I was forgetting to put in some orders. And so nothing major to where I thought I was going to be fired, but mm-hmm. it was just like on me. And I am one to always put more pressure on myself than others do. Because my boss is always, when it comes up, they're like, oh no, you're doing a good job. Like, you know, we understand there's a lot of work, but for me, I'm like, man, why did I mess this up? Why, you know, I've been in my job almost 2 years. Why am I feel like I'm doing worse than I did when I first started? And mm-hmm. so I had that going on. And then I had started making this plan. I'm like, okay, I'm going to, you know, I have this half marathon that I'm running in October that I'm like, okay, I'm going to start running, training for that. And I would run like 1 day and then not run for another 4 or 5 days. And like, okay, well, I need to be more consistent. Why am I not getting out of bed in the morning to do this? Why am I making excuses? And then I wanted to write more, and had some other ideas for the podcast that I wanted to get done, and I wasn't doing any of that. And so again, in my mind, I'm like, instead of trying to focus on the positive and motivate myself, it was more, well, why did you even make these goals? You know you're not going to follow through. You never do. So it's that self-defeating attitude that was wearing me down. And then, and this one I hope doesn't sound too bad. But, you know, my friend Mike, who joins me on the Wonder Why editions here on Positive Cynicism on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network, getting that plug in as much as possible. Yeah, he recently got married. He got married in April, and I wish him and Charlene the best. It's great, but we've been doing all these hockey trips, and 2 years ago we went to Ottawa, Montreal, and Buffalo. We left on, I think, a Friday. He was single. We do the trip for a week, and then he came back to California. I went to Texas for a few days, and then on to Dallas, where I met up with you and other friends for WrestleMania 32. And I got back to LA like a week after that, and talking with Mike, he's like, oh, I've met this wonderful person, you know, this girl, she's great, blah, blah, blah. And 2 years later, they're married. And he had, you know, started online dating. And I think he met Charlene on like the third date, and now mm-hmm. they're married. I think I figured it up. I think I had like 15 dates last year, and I think 3 of them led to a second date. So my track record is not great. And so then you also start wondering, like, okay, what's, you know, what am I doing wrong? What's wrong with me?
Mm-hmm.
So all of this was like the perfect storm back in October of just all these issues hitting at once. And so it took time to get over. And as I said, it's that mental it's the defeating attitude of just beating yourself up. And I think that's a bigger problem in our society, is that we are so hard on ourselves and don't often see the positive. And, you know, if I had asked you or any of my coworkers or Laura, like, and Laura has been good about this. She's like, well, you know, look at this and this and this part of your life that are good.
Right.
You can jump in here. I need to take a water
break.
Well,
you know, here's what I am taking away from what you're saying. And this is dime store psychology coming in. So,
all right, please, Lucy, give it to me. I'll give you your 5 cents.
Don't take it for, you know, you talked about your self-esteem and how you feel about yourself and this self-defeated attitude that you have sometimes toward yourself. That, you know, that, and you've probably heard this before and you know this, how you feel about yourself can sometimes then be reflected on how you feel about other people. So if you're not loving yourself, or at least liking yourself and knowing that you are, you know, you have these positive aspects in these different areas, it's going to be hard to then go on and develop a relationship and bring another person into your life and be able to love and care for that person if you're having trouble loving and caring for yourself. And I think that, you know, when I was much younger and, you know, the high school, the teen years, they're rough. And a lot of kids, I think, have that self-esteem issue. And some of us grow out of it. And I don't even know if you necessarily grow out of it, but you develop and turn into the person that you're going to become. And I feel like, you know, there are still times, and I know my social media posts may indicate otherwise, but there are times that I have self-doubt and, you know, I think about these things and wonder, you know, am I doing a good job? Am I being a good dad? And, you know, and social media at times doesn't help, because there are those that will boost you up, but there are those there who will tear you down as well. So you have to, the core of it, though, whether they're social media or not, is embrace who you are and love it. And if you don't love it, then work on ways to change it. And that is what you're doing now with the help of this professional. And I think that once you work with your new doctor and kind of go through the motions with him and figure out exactly the course of action that's going to be best for you, that fog will lift. And you may not, quote unquote, be cured, but I think you will learn to adapt and live with the condition in a way that will help you not only love yourself, find that person who will also love you, because I get it. I understand your feelings with the friends getting married. You know, I happen to be lucky. I will stroke it up to luck. But
I chalk it up to a lost bet, but go on.
Yes, that may be the case as well. But, you know, you are, and I don't want to turn this into a kumbaya session. But
no, tell me how great I am.
No, you know, and my wife, Lisa, and I, she loves you, and she talks about all the time, like, you are a great guy, you are funny and witty, and you have this great sense of humor about yourself. You know, she watches the banter between us on social media and whatnot, and listens to some of your podcasts. So she recognizes that, and she sees it, and, you know, it's one of those cases where sometimes we can't see the forest for the trees with our own being in our own selves, and yes, people can pat you on the back and tell you, but if you don't, you know, I don't want to say if you don't believe it, but if you're not there with them, no matter what anybody says, you know, you may get 100 compliments after this podcast is over, and you may have one jerk say something negative about it, and that one jerk is probably going to be the one that stands out to you, and that's unfortunate. But I'm excited for you in the fact that you are working with someone, and I think that talking about it will also help, and it will all just kind of be one of these things where you're on the right course now, And like you said, this has probably been an issue for you much longer than you remember or care to think about. But I think taking that step is the key in finding happiness within yourself. And then it's going to kind of be I don't want to say wildfire. It's going to be like planting seeds, and it's going to grow and resonate. And then it's going to continue to develop into other areas of your life, whether it's at work, whether it's your personal life with relationships, your family, your other friends. Once you take care of yourself, it's going to just continuously expand and grow into something, I think.
I hope you're right, and I agree with you. And going back to what you were saying about, you know, the 100 positives versus one negative comment, I do have that tendency to focus on the negative, and that's something that I never really realized until I moved away from home. But my family is kind of a negative force. Like it's always looking at the negative side instead of the positive. And for example, you know, back in April, the beginning of April, I was home for a few days, and my dad and I went on the Honor flight, which, for those that don't know, it's a flight that is provided to military veterans and guardians to go out to DC for a day and tour all the memorials. And it was a great day. I mean, it was a fun day. When I was telling Laura about it, my first comments were, well, we were delayed leaving Springfield because they had to de-ice the plane. And then when we were leaving DC, we got delayed 2 hours due to other flights being canceled and not having a gate open and our plane being blocked by a helicopter, which I still don't understand how that happened. But anyway, it was, instead of saying, oh, we had this great day of seeing all these sites and just being like honored to be in the presence of these veterans who are braver than I am, who, you know, serve this country and that I have respect for, it was the negative aspect. It was, we got delayed. It was delayed. And then she's a fourth grade teacher, and her class wrote letters to my dad. And so he wrote letters back to them, and he wrote one to Laura. And she said, yeah, I read his letter, because I did not read them before I handed them to her. And she's like, one of the first things he said is, oh, yeah, we got delayed coming back. And he's like, why is that the focus? Why? She's like, but now I understand you more, because if that's the environment that you grew up in, you're going to, you know, absorb that and become that.
Right.
And so that is, and, you know, Laura and I have known each other for about four years now. And when we first started talking, she would call me out on my negativity and like, why are you doing this? She's like, I can't talk to you, or I don't want to talk to you if you're just going to be negative. And so it was something that I had to, that I wasn't conscious of before. Now I try to make it a conscious effort to, unless I'm insulting you on social media, it's, you know, I try to get out that negativity. And that's, you know, if you follow me on Twitter, it's at ChatSmart. I haven't got that plug in yet, but you can follow me there. And, you know, I've started this thing, this hashtag, the Summer of Positivity. And while I fully believe in it and hope it catches on, and it is trying to make the world a little bit of a better place in whatever aspect, you know, one person can have that effect, it's also a little bit of a false window where I'm trying to portray myself as this positive person, but if you can see the thoughts that go on inside my head, they're not always positive. And it is, and so I don't know if I'm trying to fool myself
right
into thinking so, but, or if it's just this first step of reprogramming my brain to try to focus more on the positive. And that's, like I said, I have yet to fill them out, but I have all these worksheets that I need to fill out that ask you, like, okay, when you have this, when this happens, what is your first thought? Or when you have this negative thought, what impacts it And yeah, hopefully I can just retrain myself. You know, I know it's hard to train an old dog new tricks, but hopefully by the biggest thing is being conscious of it.
Well, and that's, and I think, and I feel bad because we've been friends for almost 15 years now. When I first moved to Southern Illinois, you were here, and you were one of the first people. Obviously, the wrestling thing bonded us quickly, and then just kind of growing up in the same time period and, you know, liking and having similar interest. And then working the same shift helped, of course, too. And I had always kind of, you know, you and I have talked before, and we never talked about this specifically, but I had always kind of suspected, this is where I feel like a bad friend, is that I never pushed the issue. And gosh, it was probably about 2 weeks ago, you tweeted something, and I texted you and said, are you okay? Because I knew you were at work, and I didn't want to call you. And then you called me because I think you were on a break or something, and we talked. And you posted something after that, after we had talked a few days later, you know, about it being, you know, you were trying to keep the summer positivity going, which I applaud, by the way. And you had said something about, you know, I'm not having a good day, but, you know, consider this. And you put something positive out there. And I think that's comes back into this self-esteem thing and beating yourself up. And by yourself, I'm not specifically talking you, but I think in general, we want to be perfect all of the time. And when we get on a good course, whether it's with our diet and exercise and fitness, or, you know, for example, this, you always want to have those good days, but there's going to be a day that you're going to go and eat a half a sleeve of Oreos, or you're not going to get out and do that run, or you're not going to hit the gym, just like you're going to have those negative feelings, and that's okay. But I think if you continue to recognize it and work toward that end goal, and that's why it's a goal, you're working to get there, it's not going to happen overnight. And you didn't get into whatever situation you're in, whether it is physically or mentally, overnight. And it's going to take time, and it may take counseling or medication or other means to get to where you want to be, or where you feel better about yourself. And that's okay. It's okay to get that treatment. And that's the big thing I think that you are putting out there, is it's okay to not feel okay. And it's okay to get that help to make yourself feel like you want to feel, or that you felt before. And I don't know if you have a recollection of how you felt before all this kind of came to light for you, but I would imagine that that is your end game, is that you want to be in a place where you feel not this funk or this fog or this haze. And I don't know for sure, but I would imagine that there are going to be days, even after you are feeling where you have less days of that funk, there are probably still going to be times where it comes back and you go through it. But the key is to keep moving forward and not let that dominate how you're feeling about yourself.
I agree. And that's the hard part, is focusing on, I guess, keeping the positive attitude, even on those days when, yes, you have a relapse, or like you said, if I don't get up and run tomorrow morning, instead of beating myself up over it, try to motivate myself more to, you know, either actually run at night, which I could actually do. I just don't like running when other people are around, which is going to make running the marathon kind of awkward. But yeah, and, you know, you said, you know, going back to what you said about how we've been friends for 15 years and you've never pushed this, even if you had asked me about it prior to this, I would have shrugged it off. I would have said, no, I'm fine. Because, and I think that's a problem that we've had as a society too, is, and you kind of hit on this earlier, is we just say, oh, no, I'm fine. It's like we're either ashamed to admit that we're not fine, or we're embarrassed to tell people what's going on. And I think hopefully because there is more awareness of mental health issues, like hopefully we are getting to that point in society where we don't have to be embarrassed or ashamed or, you know, feel less than because of it. And we can be more honest and open. And I think we're getting there. I hope. But then you have the problem of, okay, well, what do you do when you know that? What is the treatment? There is no, I mean, there's medication, which for me, I think one of the reasons why I've always been hesitant to even think about this issue is I don't want to be medicated. I don't want to alter who I am with drug, you know, it's
right.
But at the same time, like when I had the meeting with the psychiatrist, he's like, would you be willing to try medication? And I'm like, at this point, I think because I have a better understanding of what I'm going through, I'm like, if that's what it takes, as long as it isn't over medication, as long as it isn't completely numbing me.
Right.
Like, yes, if it helps, fine. And, you know, even the Mauro Ranallo documentary, he moved out here to LA and started, you know, he got his weed card, and prescription marijuana helps him. And he's like, why wouldn't you use this? If this helps you, why not? And I've always been very strict anti-drug, but now, you know, I have to reconsider and say, is that something that if I need it? And luckily, again, I am so on a spectrum of 1 to 10, I would put myself at a 1 on this issue right now. So it's not even, I think, an issue of medicating or using drugs. But what happens if it gets more intense? And would I do that? And I honestly don't know. And I think that's part of the unknown and the scariness factor of, you know, what would I be willing to do to fix it? And at the same time, like I said, it's more about if I do medication, does it change me? Does it change my personality? And if so, is it actually changing my personality, or would it allow the actual me to come out? And instead of the sarcastic, defensive, cynical side, would it be the person that is trapped inside?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I can't answer that. So that's a question that I guess you can only find out by actually going down that path.
Has your new doctor talked about any of that as far as treatment options or what, you know, what was his suggestion once the diagnosis of mild depression was made?
He just asked if I would be willing, and he said he doesn't think I need it right now. Mm-hmm. And right now I think we're on a very simple, like 6 to 7 treatment plan, like every few weeks just to go in. And so probably over the course of about 6 months, and just meet and talk and try to work through, I can't remember what type of therapy he called it, but it's just rewiring your brain to push out the negative thoughts, and or when a negative thought enters, how to cope with it and turn it around. So hopefully that is it. And like I said, it's because my case is not that severe, I think that will be beneficial. And hopefully that's all I will need, but we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what do you remember a time? Like, what's your, because like I said, I've known you almost 15 years and you've had that, you know, I think your email at one point it might still be, was Cynical Fork, right?
That's a name that I use on a lot of things. And I mean, when I was in school, when I was at SIU, my email was cynic@siu.edu. I don't know if anybody actually has that email address now, but try it out. Send someone an email.
Yeah. So, you've always kind of had cynical outlook, or so it seems.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, the opening song on this podcast is the song Cynical by Extreme. And I kind of adopted that song even before this podcast. Like, that's been my theme song since Waiting for the Punchline came out. And I've always had that persona. And I don't, you know, I think part of it was exactly that. It was a persona that I created. It was a character, and then it just kind of stuck. And I also, and it's something that I think I need to bring up in the next meeting with the psychiatrist too, is not only the depression aspect, but my undiagnosed WebMD diagnosis is, I also suffer from social anxiety. Like, I don't do well in large groups of people, especially people that I don't know. I'm very awkward, quiet, and I actually have to get to know someone before I can open up. Which, going back to the string of bad dates, it's not a good quality to have when you're trying to meet someone and impress them and get them to, you know, want to talk to you again. So there's that aspect. And I just think both of those issues together do not make for the best of times all the time. But, you know, you and I have obviously hung out a lot. You know, we've done our WrestleMania trips. And I think in those situations where, you know, we always joke about how we're the coolest people there because we don't have championship belts on, and I probably just insulted like 90% of your target audience right now. But it's, I think that aspect too, where I can walk into Access or WrestleCon and put on this persona of being cool, if you will, because I'm not trying to impress anyone. Whereas if I'm around people that I actually want to spend more time with, then it gets more awkward, because then I'm not going to say the things that are going through my head, because, you know, my sense of humor is a little off at times. You know, you can't make Bill Cosby jokes all the time and have people not wonder what you're talking about. But it's those moments too where, and like I said, I think it's because I don't feel comfortable in my own skin at times. Mm-hmm. And so trying to find peace with myself is probably the biggest issue that I'm struggling with.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's like we said, talked about earlier, if you have that self-doubt or whatever, then that's going to be perpetuated and shown in other social settings. And, you know, I've always kind of appreciated your sense of humor and you know, the self-deprecating versus the, you know, you bust balls too. So I've always appreciated that, but I know that is also part of a defense mechanism for you. And like we talked about earlier with the positive post, I think it helps. And you may not be changing your own mind. And I think that with the help of professionals, that will all come along as well. But I do think putting that positive face, you know, out there does help others who may be having a crappy day, and they may not respond or they may not say, hey, thanks for posting this, but I think you should know that you are making a difference in some people's lives.
I hope so. Yeah, and I don't do it for, you know, I don't post on social media, on Twitter. When I do these positive posts, it's not like I'm expecting people to be like, oh, thanks, you know, that's great. You know, it helps. It's just, like you said, it, and that's been one of my, I like to consider myself a very somewhat charitable person, or, you know, wanting to help humanity even prior to this starting this podcast. But I've always said, like, I don't do things for glory. I don't do them for awards. If I do something nice for someone, it's not even like, I'm not going to text you and be like, oh man, I just gave this homeless guy, you know, $10, for example.
Right.
Because to me, if you do that, then you're doing it for the wrong reason. And it's more just about being nice and being polite and helping someone out and everything. So if I am making a difference, great. If not, like you said, it's helping me at least. At least I can sleep at night saying, you know what, I tried to make a difference, instead of just going along with all the negativity that is in the world and adding to it. And, you know, that's why, tangent time, it's like when you go on social media and you see negative comment, and it's like, what is possessing you to spend the time to make these comments? Like, why not just keep scrolling or keep reading or go read a book or do something different? Like, what, why do we feel the need to make so many negative comments?
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
And if we can figure out that answer, well, we will destroy the internet, because it would serve no purpose anymore.
I know. That is true.
That is true. I don't know. I think I've said my piece. I don't know what else. Do you have any other questions, comments, or?
You know, no. I'll just kind of go back and reflect on what we've kind of talked about. And the theme of this is getting it out there and talking about it and knowing and also understanding as the friend or the spouse or the family member, you're not going to be able to fix this. There are things that you can probably say and do to help with the situation, but don't be offended and don't feel like it's your fault and don't feel like you're going to be able to fix it. But also don't tell the person who is confiding you in you or telling you these things to shake it off or that it's okay. Because while it's okay to feel this way, it's not natural to feel this way, and it's okay to then go ahead and get the help to fix those feelings. And you know, I'm glad that you are taking those steps and moving forward with it and talking about it in such an open and public way that others will hopefully listen to this, even if it's one person who hears this, will be impacted and decide that it's time for them to maybe seek the help of a professional as well.
Yeah. Good wrap up. You just can't, I'm babbling here cause I don't know what I'm saying. It's cause I don't want to just repeat what you just said, but yes, the main issue is one, understanding, two, accepting, and just knowing that you are not alone, that there are people out there, even if you don't have a solid support group of friends that you can confide in, there are, you know, hotlines or other outlets that you can seek and that are there to help. That, you know, it's the biggest factors is accepting it, realizing it, and opening up about it, and not being ashamed and not being embarrassed. And hopefully, as we've said several times in the show, hopefully the public awareness is coming around to it, to where those stigmas are being erased.
And that's, well said.
Yeah. All right, let's go into a commercial break, and then I'll be back and wrap this episode up.
Hi, this is Greg Mahochko, the host of Nerds United on the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. And over the years that I've been running the Nerds United show, I've been fortunate enough to speak with many of my talented friends, both artists and writers, creators of comic books. But I've also spoken with some more recognizable names in comics and entertainment. Legendary artist Greg Land. Hey, we Greg's got to stick together. Writer Colin Bunn, Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, and comic book creator DMC Daryl McDaniels. The Flash of yesteryear, and in more recent memory, Flash's dad, John Wesley Shipp, and a lot more. And I encourage you to subscribe to the Nerds United podcast on iTunes or Stitcher, or you can check it out anytime you want on jitterymonkey.com. And as founder of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network, I really do appreciate your support. When you share a podcast, you help get our little corner of the podcasting world out to even more people. So anytime you do that, you really don't know how much we appreciate it. So share away.
I want to thank Kevin for coming on the show and helping me get through this episode. It is great. As he mentioned, we have been friends for 15 years, and I consider him one of my best friends. And it did mean a lot when he reached out and asked if I was okay, if everything was okay. And I truly do value his friendship, you know, in despite of what you may see on social media between the two of us, we are really good friends, and I don't take that for granted. I hope in the next coming weeks to have Jervis Cottonbelly on the show and to explore this topic a little bit more. And again, I'm just going to restate that you are not alone, that there are people out there that do care. There are so, you know, places you can go, people you can talk to. And I will say, you know, even if you don't know me, I don't know you, but you're hearing this, reach out to me. I am always here to listen, and that's all we really need to do in this world is be willing to listen. So as always, do something positive, question everything, don't be ashamed.
Yes, but This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.